Two men in a six pack starts in 3, 2, 1. Welcome, two men and a six-pack listeners, to episode, I'm thinking it's 50 because I did not make any notes tonight, but I think last week we did 49. So welcome, two men and a six-pack listeners, episode 50. This is a monumental episode because it is number 50 and I am 50 years old, so that's a pretty monumental episode. So I want to start the show off by introducing our guest tonight. We got Daddy Bob Mills here with us tonight. I had to change that in my phone because every time I would say, Siri, call Bob Mills, it would say, calling Bobby Mills. But I'm like, nah, man, freaking Bob Mills. Anyway, so I changed it to Daddy Mills. Got Coach Dave Miller sitting beside me in my phone. He is Dave Miller in my phone, even though there's another Dave Miller at Golden Corral.
There's quite a few Dave Millers.
Okay.
His neighbor was Dave Miller.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I live on the same street.
Yep.
Did you ever open any of his mail?
No, but he did get arrested for beating his parents.
Man.
And he had warrants out for his arrest in Florida for drugs.
And you also lived in Florida.
You're from Florida.
Yes. And we also both lived on Long Acre Drive, so it was a very interesting day at school.
Wow. That's a little more interesting than my story.
They believed you, huh?
Yeah.
You sold that one?
Good job,
Coach.
Wow. They believe that one. That's a good deal. And then, of course, I have Coach Joey Mahalchik sitting to the right of me. And in my phone, he is Joey Mahalchik. So, I'm glad to have you here after you were here, of course, last week as well, after a long trip out to Kansas City and a quick trip back and seeing the hills go down. But then we were obviously reincarnated and rejuvenated a little bit later Sunday night.
Absolutely.
When Michigan State took it to them. So we're going to get into the show, but first I want to thank Mike Brandon, Twin Peaks. If we're not Facebook Live tonight, if we were, I would tell anybody who was watching if they wanted to come over because we have just, gosh, all kind of gobs of food sitting over here. Mike, thank you. It was great. Bob, you picked it up because I was rolling in from town from Raleigh. So I am ill prepared for this podcast, but most likely it'll end up being probably the best podcast we've done, at least today. So anyway, with that said, today we're going to start off with birthdays in sports. Today's day. We've got some pretty good ones, actually. 19th today is April 7th. Starting this off, 1954, TD, Tony Dorsett, Joey Mahalchik, Cowboys fan.
Ex-Cowboy fan.
Oh, you're no longer a Cowboy
fan? I quit the Cowboys.
Why is that?
Well, I don't like the quarterback or their owner. Tony Romo.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So now that they have a new quarterback, you still
no.
Stunt on. So still you're no. So you're a Cleveland Browns fan now. Everybody's hopping on the Cleveland Browns fan.
Well, I've been to a couple of games, but I'm a Panther fan.
I mean, Tony Romo is an awesome announcer, though. He's a better announcer than a quarterback. He's
much better.
Just like Little Lee's a better business owner than he is a race car driver. Correct? But we all agree with that.
And he found his niche. It's good.
Well, Michael Jordan's a better baseball player than he is a basketball owner.
Correct.
And he really sucked as a baseball player.
Zion Williamson's a better donut eater than he is. Okay, well, we won't
just
go there.
Plug.
Okay, just a plug. 1960. So tell me, legitimately, the biggest upset in boxing history. Dead air on radio.
Cassius Clay.
Buster.
No. Buster Douglas.
Over Buster Tyson.
Douglas. I saw Buster Douglas Tyson fight. Spent the night in
Tokyo?
No, it was in 29 Palms. We actually stayed out in Joshua Tree so we could watch the fight, and it snowed in the desert.
Wow. So it snowed in the desert.
It snowed in the desert.
And Buster Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson.
Yep.
Well, today is Buster Douglas's birthday. American boxer, undisputed world heavyweight champion. Hey, guess where he was born? I didn't know this. Columbus, Ohio.
Man. Okay.
But he did not attend the Ohio State University, I wouldn't think.
Good for him.
I'm sure Fly could tell us if he attended
Even though Fly didn't attend there either.
None of them did.
Nobody went there. I don't think anybody goes there.
I don't think, well.
That's true. My wife's family, none of them went to Ohio.
Your wife's a bobcat?
Somebody has to dot the I's because somebody goes there. And last birthday today, actually, 1975, Rondé Barber, cornerback, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that probably means that there was another birthday that day, right?
Tiki.
Tiki, his brother.
I didn't know if it was like the next day.
So both of those were born on this day, obviously with Buster Douglas and with Tony Dorsett, who I'm very disheartened to know. I didn't know that Joey Mahachik was no longer a Dallas Cowboy.
It's been a few years.
Well, I just thought it was because he had the tendency to pick Tony Romo during fantasy football, and he got tired of...
That's part of it. It's true. That is part of it. So, that is not ages.
When they made the comment, they said Tony Romo is the best of the worst or the worst of the best.
He would be the...
Which would you choose?
I would say the... Not even... He's not considered the best, so he can't be the worst of the best.
So right? So he's the best of the worst.
He's the best of the worst.
Never won a playoff game? Did they win a playoff game? Never won a playoff game?
No.
He fumbled the ball.
He fumbled the ball, yeah.
Sort of reminds me of the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. It's about the same way.
You're correct.
Can't win the,
big
one. Who's better? Who's had a better career? Tony Romo or
Cam
Newton?
You'd have to say Cam Newton because he at least made it took to his Bowl. Team to the Super Bowl.
Okay. I would not disagree with you about that.
So but if the Panthers picked a new quarterback, I wouldn't be upset about that either. My son would be upset, but
my son would be too, considering he once had a T-shirt that said Cam Town on it.
We were there.
We were going to the game one time. Walking. I think you were with me, weren't you?
Yep.
Walking on the street, and these guys just side of the street had these T-shirts that said Cam Town. They had made them. They had drawn a caricature on them. And had Cam Newton on him and said Cam Town. And Gray was like,
his rookie year.
Gray was like, Dad. So we kind of know what ended up happening, you know, from there. So anyway, so on the subject of football, before we get to college basketball, AAF closed down this week.
Dead.
Kind of crazy, man. You know, kind of crazy.
I watched. One morning or afternoon, I had Bill Bullion on talking about it, and I guess expenses they weren't really counting on outside the football arena is what really got them. It's kind of what he was hitting at.
Well, plus they were paying each player $250,000. Is that right?
I think that's right.
Five years, though, it was $50,000 a year, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
I think
they could have paid them a lot less than $250,000.
$50,000 for five years. I think it's what the deal was.
So the big, you know, a lot of football people were like, this guy that he owns the Hurricanes and started the Top Golf. He actually made his money in the car business. Like, was it leasing or financing or something like that? Cars.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of getting on him. They were like, yeah, well, and then the other crowd was saying, well, he lost $70 million, but him losing $70 million is like me losing, you know, to me losing $20 is a lot. Right. But I mean, it's like him losing, you know, that's like that. But it said, and you would appreciate this, I guess his business where he made all the money and the whatever he was doing with these cars or financing or leasing or whatever he was doing, that's like a quick... He's used to making money quick.
Right.
And they said that with this, they just didn't know that he had the patience or the wherewithal to last this thing out. So, I don't know.
He has tons of money. He's made majority owner of Top Golf too.
Have you been to Top Golf?
We talked about it. I didn't go.
Oh, wow.
Have you been to Top Golf?
I've not been to one yet.
Man.
I've been to like four.
Oh, yeah. We went to the one in Charlotte at ACC tournament. Dude, it is freaking awesome.
And it's unbelievable how terrible the golfers are there. I mean, they have people that are like a 600 handicaps playing.
Yeah, well, you're just hitting off a tee.
And that's cool.
And if you have to go chase it. If you're on one of the elevated deals, you can hit the ball and you can actually get the ball off the ground. Because it's going to, I mean, you hit the ball and no matter, you can literally have a horrible swing. And you're going to hit the ball forward. I mean, you're going to hit the ball forward.
Swings.
I mean, Gray went with us. He's played golf like twice. And by the time he finished, he was actually playing pretty well. Him and Bobby we're kind of going back and forth at it because Bobby's a marginal golfer. And Doug Ernie, actually, I played Doug Ernie. Yeah, we end up Doug's a pretty good golfer.
Yeah.
So it actually ended up we ended up having teams. It was Gray and I against Doug and Bobby, and we end up we beat them the first game, which we didn't have a bet on. But the second game they beat us, and I had to buy the bar tab and the food tab. So, but anyway,
I think you got had.
Yeah, I probably did. No. Doug started playing well at the end of the first round, but Bobby played a little bit better second game than he did first game. So anyway, so what's cool about the AAF though is that some of the players have actually been picked up. A couple of them have been picked up by NFL teams. I don't remember who, but the Gilbert kid who was like the Panthers' third string quarterback a couple years ago, Grant Gilbert or Graham Gilbert or something like that, he went to the AFL. And somebody has picked him up, signed him. The Panthers have actually picked up a couple of players from the AAF.
I don't know if that's good or bad, though.
Well, I mean, as long as they weren't offensive linemen, because the offensive line was the kind of the weak. You know, they said that the whole thing about the AAF, the offensive line was like the offensive line was the weak thing, that the quarterbacks would definitely be getting hurt because the offensive line there stinks. So talking about that. So what do you think about? The biggest story that came out of that when they closed was that Steve Spurrier's team, the Orlando
Apollos,
were like 7-1, and Rick Neuheisel, who used to coach at University of Washington, he coached somewhere else. But anyway,
Colorado.
He was coaching the Arizona team, and he was coaching, and there was another team that was 5-3. I guess it was two teams tied at 5-3. So Spurrier basically called Neuheisel up and says, you know, we're basically the champs of the AAF. You know what? And was kind of rubbing it in on them. Can you have a chance of an incompleted season?
Well, I guess you could. I mean, it'd be no different than in high school with the Hurricane, and if we didn't get to finish the season,
That's just typical Spurrier, though, man.
The old ball coach.
That's right.
So anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. So anyway, let's move on to something that probably the listeners really want to hear about, and hear our discussion about NCAA basketball. So we recorded last week after the last Elite Eight game where the Michigan State Spartans whooped up on the Duke Blue Devils, and their two All-Americans, and that made first team All-American this week. Then we have Friday night's games. We have Saturday's games where Texas Tech defeats Michigan State by what it was like by 6 or 7 or something like that, or 10.
I think it was 10. 10. 61-51.
And Virginia came back, defeated Auburn on a kind of two controversial calls. I'm going to be forthright. Right up front, didn't watch either game because I had some family stuff going on. I did see the highlights. Texas Tech controlled the game against Michigan State from start to finish. They have I'll get to the game coming up. We'll talk about the game tomorrow night with Michigan State and Texas Tech. But I kind of watched the highlights. It just seemed like Texas Tech kind of stayed in there, hung with them, and then they had two kids right near the end of the game that just kind of, in fact, they were comparing the two players to the DiVincenzo kid and the other kid from Villanova last year. So then in the other game, obviously controversial call, two controversial calls or no calls. One was a controversial no call, a double dribble in the last possession that did not get called, and then a foul at basically the end of the game on a three-point shot that Kyle Guy was taking. They called the foul, and time expired. He was pulling his shirt over his head because he just thought the game was over. And then they called the foul. He goes to the free throw line, makes three free throws, and Virginia wins. So I'd like to hear y'all's thoughts on either game, both games. Tell me what you think. Joey, tell me what you think, because you and I were having a conversation about this.
I already said it.
Well, just say it again.
Let the people hear it.
I think Auburn got hosed.
You think they got hosed?
They got hosed.
Why?
You don't make that call.
At that time or at all?
To me, at all. It's like in soccer. I compare it to soccer. It happens all the time. The guy gets his shot off. He gets fouled, but the referee doesn't call it because he got his shot off. That foul, that bump did not affect his shot. So what if he has to land? You still got your shot. He jumped straight up, released it.
But it's called the rule of verticality.
I don't care about the rule of verticality. So he jumped, and he was coming down. It didn't affect his shot. He didn't touch him on the elbow, didn't touch him on the head, anywhere. He didn't get touched until he was on his way down.
So
it didn't
affect his shot. So you and I had this conversation prior to this. So you wouldn't have called that as a foul 5 minutes
ago? I don't call that five minutes ago. No, you got your shot off.
You do not call that foul at all? Ever?
Nope, ever.
Okay. So if you were still coaching middle school basketball and that happened in middle school basketball – So first of all, they probably can't shoot that far.
You're right. That's what I was going to say. Okay, that's too far from the basket.
Okay.
I would be screaming at the guy, why are you shooting that ball?
Especially Newbridge Middle School.
Yes.
Why? But he could have fooled him. He could have asked the guy that was covering him what the square root of 82 was and got the shot.
That is true.
Okay.
No, it's not. No.
It'd be easier for 81.
No.
That's around the
number. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
No, I'm just saying I know some former Newbridge basketball players, and I don't think they're doing that math. That's all I'm saying.
So you think there's some potential academic scandal going on over it?
No scandal. I just don't think that some of those basketball players were quite at that level of math yet.
Okay. When we coached Steve and Bob, it was a different level of player.
Oh, okay.
Different levels.
They were a lot better at math than basketball.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now you got some that are better at basketball than math.
Those are the ones that Miller is referring to.
Oh, are you recruiting over there now?
We have to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Neighborhood school.
From the local neighborhood.
Oh, okay. So they're moving to district to go to play for.
Absolutely.
Who's the basketball coach?
John Turner.
So they're moving in district to play for Coach Turner now.
Yes.
Coach Turner did a good job.
All right. Bob, tell me your thoughts on the game. Either one, both.
I agree. I mean, it's a tough call. In the NBA, they would have called it if it would have been James Harden shooting it or Kevin Durant or Steph Curry.
But nobody else.
You're right. But, I mean, you know, he did foul him. I mean, he did come into a space.
So when is a foul a foul and when is a foul not?
Well, you're supposed to.
It all depends on who's playing that day, I swear.
And you're supposed to call it the same way the whole game. But that's why, like in the NBA, you don't go to the rack at the end of the game because they're not going to call a foul at the end of the game at the rack. You got to pull up for a 10, 12, 15-foot shot. So as far as Ty double dribbling, he may have got fouled, I think, when he dribbled behind his back and went off his foot and stuff like that. And so that was kind of a double, double whammy.
So the highlights I saw were, you know, everybody was up in arms because of the no double dribble call.
Mm-hmm.
Well, potentially there could have been a foul call before the no double dribble call. Because they said Auburn was trying to foul because they had like a foul to give, I guess, or something like that. So something you said you just said was interesting. I think Joey and I were having this conversation before you got here. So do you not call – so you're saying you call the game differently the first 10 minutes of the game than you do the last – or first 10 seconds of the game than you do the last 10 seconds.
They do. They're not supposed to, yeah. But they do.
Well, so the
– And I'm okay with that.
Well, but you shouldn't be, and I'll tell you why. Because what they were saying was, so if – unless you really try to standardize – unless you really tell the refs, hey, this is how you need to call the game – players are becoming so advanced, not just physically, but some of them are really learning about basketball mentally and learning the finer art of basketball. And if they know that in the last 10 seconds of a game, you're going to kind of let things go, then they're going to push it. They may push it a little more in the last 10 seconds than they would in the first five minutes of the game. And they're going to keep pushing it like that until they do get called. Yeah. So with that said, I don't know. You hate for a ref to decide a basketball game. That stinks. If I'm not mistaken, didn't Auburn advance because of a similar call like two games, three, not, well, obviously not against Carolina, but they didn't need that. Wasn't it a game, whoever they played, between
their, I think it was like, Purdue, wasn't it?
No, no, Virginia beat Purdue. It was when the Auburn game against
Kentucky or Kansas.
Well, they blew out Kansas, so maybe it was the New Mexico State. It was a first round game or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was something with a first round game.
New Mexico State, yeah. And Auburn.
In the first round game. Anyway, so let's talk about the game tomorrow night. Are y'all going to even watch it?
Yeah, I'll watch
for a little bit.
I think it'll be a good game. I think the interesting things about tomorrow night's game. First of all, really not in the games last night either. There are no one and duns.
That's awesome, isn't it?
No one and duns.
But two and done.
Who?
The kid from Texas Tech.
Well, that's fine. He's a two and done. Okay. I mean, but he's not a one and done.
Okay.
Haven't had any one and duns in four or five years.
Correct.
That's great for the game.
I mean, I think it's awesome. This is what I find interesting. Now, everyone loves offense. Mm-hmm. You love offense, you love offense, you love offense. You have the number one and number two ranked defensive efficiency teams in the country playing each other. Texas Tech, yep. Number one. Virginia, number two.
Mm-hmm.
So we're thinking the final score is going to be like 35-14.
Actually, the over and under is the lowest it's been in years.
Like the over and under is 118.
It was 119. It's moved down.
117.5.
So wow. The pile of money is going on the under.
So we're going under. Two for the money. I don't know if you ever saw that movie.
Seen it many times.
Awesome movie. I'm betting the over.
If it keeps moving down, I'm definitely going to over. I'm going against what? I mean, I can see it being like 63-60.
Right. Just like Virginia, 63-62.
Virginia scored 63 points last night. Texas Tech scored 61. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be in this. Of course, the last time Virginia played a very good defensive team, Oregon is in the top 15 defense. That was like two rounds ago. Mm-hmm. They beat Oregon. I think the final score was 52-49.
Right.
So, you know, so we'll see what happens. The thing that I think gives Virginia the edge is, okay, so they're the number two defensive efficiency team in the country. Texas Tech is number one. This is pretty – the thing that make – Virginia has scores. They have guys that can score.
Yeah.
They are actually the number two – was it number two or number three?
Yeah.
Offensive efficiency team. Mm-hmm. In the country.
Right, when you're talking about efficiency.
Efficiency, yeah, no. Now, pace of play, they were next to last
opportunities of all
Division I teams.
60, they averaged 60 possessions a game.
Right. Yeah.
And average 71 points a game.
That's the efficiency part.
Right, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the possessions is the pace of play.
Right.
Which, like, the only other school may have been that school up in New York, the Deaf and Blind University.
I think the four of us could keep up with that pace. I think for a half, we could.
Oh, we could definitely keep up with ass. I would want to cover Jack Salt. I would want to body up Jack Salt, hands down. I would not want to cover DeAndre Hunter, or I would not want to cover Guy or Jerome.
Yeah, they move too much.
They move too quick.
They move way too much.
Or I would cover the little 5'9 little point guard and just lay off him and play back at the free throw line because I don't think he can shoot.
Yeah, because we couldn't play zone because they can shoot.
I would bag up to Jack Salt. I would that Australian dude or whatever he is. I'd put my knee in his. Let's see, probably in his. Calf,
right?
I put my knee in his calf, man, and I would just and I'd body him up. So we'll see how the game goes tomorrow night. So, initial thoughts: who wins?
Virginia,
score.
53.
Oh my.
To 51.
Under
a buck.
104. Huh? All right.
Now, if that was the line, I'd take the over on
it. I would too. Who wins, Virginia, Texas Tech?
I'm gonna say Texas Tech. I think they have the best player in the
that sophomore kid,
the Culver kid.
Yeah,
he was cold last night, so that means he's gonna go bananas.
You know, they are missing a player of theirs. Got hurt. I just again didn't watch the game. Was listening on the radio. One of their big guys got hurt. Tried to come back and couldn't go. I think he's got like an ankle problem. So. That may potentially hamper.
I thought they said he would be back for this game.
He came back, didn't he? Yeah,
he came back, but only played for like 30 seconds.
Just couldn't go.
Yeah, he couldn't go. So you're saying Virginia, what's the score?
No, I say Texas Tech.
What's the score?
65-58.
Wow.
So that's one.
123.
Over. Okay. Bob? And by the way, Virginia's favored by 1.5. It's 1.5 and 117.5. So,
and of course, I want Virginia to win, so I feel Virginia 61-59. And it's kind of funny, Joey said that they average about 60 possessions a game. Most high school teams have about 55 to 60 possessions. Obviously, college plays 8 more minutes and much more athletic, but it's just to give a perspective.
That's because they turn it over a lot more in the high
yes.
school level.
Yes, they do. Yes, we do.
So, I'm going to say I'm really pulling for Virginia. I mean, I really am. I'd like to see they're legitimately – well, I'd pull for any ACC team that was playing in this game tomorrow except Duke, which I don't have to do that because they're sitting on the couch much like the Carolina players are. So, I really hope Virginia wins. I think Tony Bennett's a really good dude. He seems to be a really nice guy.
Great coach.
You know, from – you know, it's kind of a the way he coaches and – you know, teaches about playing defense. When I played, I was all about defense. Bob, I mean, you know, playing pickup ball, I was just all about defense. Never, not. But I'm pulling for Virginia. But I just kind of got this kind of feeling that Texas Tech is going to win. I think they're on a streak.
They're kind of hotter.
They're just kind of hot. I think they do have either the Hunter kid or the Culver kid. Is the best player. I'm assuming they'll probably match up against each other, won't they? You think they'll match up?
Because Hunter, he's what?
6'8", 6'9". Yeah. So the Culver kid's a little bit shorter.
Yeah, he's 6'5", 6'6".
So he plays more like a small. He'll play more like the small.
So it'll be a tough matchup for Ty Jerome to guard him.
I think so. But Jerome gets after it.
Yeah, he does.
He's a projected first round pick.
He's a workaholic.
So yeah. I'm thinking.
In today's age, you know what those kids call them? What? They're tryhards now. That's what they call them. Not someone that works hard. They're tryhards.
Wow.
I learned that this week. And you get made fun of when you try hard.
Mm. Well, Steve Goodson, the question that all the people listening are wanting to hear.
Okay.
Were you more excited about Duke losing? Than if you would rather Duke lose than Carolina win.
So I was asked that question many, many times last week. And actually the way that I was asked that question was, were your emotions at a more heightened sense when Carolina lost when Duke lost? And y'all didn't see me Friday night.
That's not fair. You were working during the Carolina game.
Yeah. Okay. But people who asked me that didn't know that. So upon asking that question, y'all saw me Sunday night. I mean, I was an idiot here.
God,
I mean,
you literally were jacked up.
Yeah. So I would definitely say that this particular instance between these two, I was more amped that Duke got their ass whooped by Michigan State, then Carolina. Because if Duke had played first and lost, I would have been happy. And then even if Carolina would have played, and then if Carolina would have played later, you know, afterward, if it had been reversed, if Duke played Friday night and got beat, and Carolina would have played Saturday or whatever, or some, played the next game and got beat, you know, I wouldn't have been the way I was. But I just really didn't, didn't want to hear all the crap from the Duke fans. And, you know, now I really don't have to. I mean, I mean, again, you know, there's actually reporters. They're going to be banned from Duke's locker room, by the way, I'm sure.
Yes.
There's actually reports surfaced this week and reports that have been written about, you know, Coach K and his lack of ability coaching in the Elite Eight. And basically bringing in question his coaching ability and them getting beat in the Elite Eight game. I mean, let's be honest. When you have two kids that are consensus All-Americans on your team, first-team All-Americans.
Two
of the top three picks in the NBA draft. I mean, legitimately, those two guys and three of us could have potentially should have been able to go out there and make it to the damn Final Four.
So that must mean I'd be on the bench.
You're on the IR. You're still.
Well,
on the
me
IR.
And you would have to tag in and tag out, because I mean, you know, you've had your knee replacement, and I'm just big and fat.
So how about a follow-up question, though?
Okay.
Were you more excited about Zion missing the free throw or Duke losing?
Oh my.
Oh,
that I was here for both.
Yeah. So.
Close, isn't it?
Yeah. So. I was more excited about Duke losing because when he missed missed the free throw, that just solidified what I've been saying all year long. If it's not within 2 feet of the basket, then there's about a 30 to 40% chance he's going to make it. I mean, you know, just like I talked to somebody about this week, time will tell with this kid, man. I mean, time is going to tell. I hope we'll see. He's going to be the number one draft pick, and you know, and he's the most likely will be drafted by the Knicks probably or whomever. What who else is on the yeah. I mean, I don't think Phoenix will take him. I mean, I just don't think he fits in with Phoenix. I mean, you know, with Booker.
I think anybody's going to take him.
With Booker.
Whoever
picks him to take him. Anyway, I mean, time will tell. I just think he's going to have to really – everyone is so enamored by his offense. I mean, by his – they think he is a great offensive player. And I just think he's a great dunker. He's a freak athlete, yeah. There's been a lot of freak athletes that have played in the NBA. And granted, his size is this and that. You know, it'll be really interesting to see now that I'm sure he's not attending classes. I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but he's not attending classes, I'm assuming, along with Nazir Little.
I mean, is he kind of like Blake Griffin? I know we talked about analogies before.
To me, that's the best comparison out of anybody that you can make about this kid, Blake Griffin.
He'll shoot outside of 3 foot.
Although, and Blake, his game has evolved. He has gotten a lot better.
He's
improved. It's just taken him. He wasn't an instant. He was always a freak athlete, but it's taken him a few years.
But when you thought anything of Blake else Griffin, even when he was in college and then his first 5 years in the NBA, when you thought of Blake Griffin, what did you think of? Jumping over a Kia and slamming.
That's the best thing he did.
So, I mean, we'll see. One thing that I've noticed about his shot, and I noticed it, and then I actually heard somebody say it, you know, later, and I forget which NBA analyst said it, but and maybe he gets there, and maybe he speeds it up. He has a slow release, man. If you see the way he shoots the ball from the outside, I'm not talking about his post move, but when he's outside, he has a slow release. That slow release. You can't.
So you're comparing him to Tim Tebow now.
Yeah. I just think he's going to have to work on his mechanics of shooting. He's going to have to work on his release. I mean, he's going to have to work on his offensive game because him just bullying over people and getting 5 dunks a game and then getting 5 dunks on the fast break. And you know, and or him posting up, you know, somebody that's his height but 50 pounds less than him, you know, those days are going to be, you know, the most impressive thing, Joey, what did you say about him? Is he's a freak athlete? Mm-hmm. Really? Okay. Yes. Well, while they're all not freaks, NBA player is legitimately an 280 athlete
and has a 45-inch vertical leap.
No, they're not. Freakish. But they're all athletes.
They are, and they're the
best athletes in the world.
I would dare say that if I'm hanging my hat on jumping higher and being faster than anybody, you better hang your hat on that about 5 years, because over time the toll of the game. People, except Vince Carter, who can jump as high as he could when he was 16 years old. Over time, you lose your jump, you lose your speed. So you better start playing basketball.
I mean, Dirk can still dunk it. He dunked.
No, did you see? He barely. Yeah, Dirk Nowitzki. This weekend, Dirk Nowitzki dunked the ball. He's 7 foot tall. He barely got it above the rim, and his teammates on the side went crazy because it's like the first dunk he's had in like 4 years.
Well, he can still dunk it then. See, I mean,
but he's 7 foot tall.
He's 7 foot tall. I mean, he's a 7 foot shooting guard.
Yeah, I mean,
he can still dunk it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he didn't lose all his jumping prowess.
So let's talk. Now that you brought Prince Zion up, let's talk about the reports that have surfaced this week in the last couple days. And a lot of people are discounting them because of the source of where they come from. So reports have surfaced this week that the Michael and Giuseppe guy, whatever his name is, he was
Stormy Daniels,
the porn star that accused Trump of all the stuff, and he was actually recently arrested by the FBI for squeezing out Nike for some, you know, wanting some money, $20 million or something to keep hush about this alleged thing that I'm getting ready to talk about. He actually has come out and said that Nike has been playing players. He has a documentation that there's legitimately over the last three or four years, 100 players that Nike has paid. He has a documentation, and he flat out names Zion Williamson's mother in those reports. Her name is like Chandra something Williamson, and says, you know, called him out saying that they paid her through their vendor portal where, as a consultant, it was Chandra something Williamson consulting. Now, of course, Duke responded, Coach K responded, like, there's nothing there. Duke athletic department says, well, you know, we're investigating this like everything else.
He's got proof. Why didn't he reveal it then?
He released a 40-page document either late yesterday afternoon or today that basically outlines what happened. You know, I think we had a text thread going on, and everybody's like, "Oh, he's trying to keep his name in the papers, or trying to keep his name in the media. He's writing a book deal, or this is that." The only reason that I think we need to be very leery about just dismissing this is because in the Adidas investigation that has occurred, which people are going to jail for that, and people are losing their jobs. Bill Self may not be the coach of Kansas much longer than this. There's been Sean Miller may not be the coach at Arizona much longer than this. In those Adidas reports, the Adidas executive that is basically been busted on this has went on record and in sworn testimony basically said that there is a wiretapped, if I understood this correctly, a wiretapped conversation between him and a Kansas assistant coach discussing Zion Williamson and his family. And it basically, in summary, says, well, I think we can get him, but he's expressed, so I'm going to make sure I'm not saying he. And then there was some reports when you do say he, it was maybe his stepdad, but they needed a place to stay and they needed a little walking around money. Now that's on wiretap between the Adidas executive and the assistant coach at Kansas, and these guys are getting in trouble. The FBI are busting their ass. So move over to this Michael Andretti guy, which is not Andretti, but move over to this guy. He's been busted by the FBI. And everybody's discounting him because he's been busted by the FBI and because he was arrested for trying to, you know, blackmail Nike. So we're quick to believe the Adidas story, which happened because it's documented, but because this guy's a scumbag, we're going to dismiss it. So I just say, where there's smoke, there could potentially be fire, man. Right. I mean, I'm not saying one of those 100 players could be Nazir Little. You know, I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, this isn't a Carolina Duke thing. This is a college basketball thing. Yeah. It's just 100 players. Like he said, Nike has refused to comment yet. And like he said, he tweeted today or yesterday, Nike just refuted. Just show us your vendor portal. If it happened, it's going to be on there. Right. But they've yet to. I'm sure they're lawyering up and getting everything situated. So. Tell me y'all's thoughts about this.
It's believable. I mean, you know, look at everything, like you said, with Adidas. Adidas is doing it. You know, everybody else is doing it too.
Yeah, Nike is golden?
Right. You know? And look how long, it's been going on for years.
But what duty do the schools have? I mean, obviously,
This has nothing to do with this.
Right, obviously, if it's an assistant coach involved at a school, obviously they're gone and should be gone and should never coach again.
I mean, let's be honest.
What duty does a school? I mean, this is a Pandora's box for all of NCAA.
Oh, absolutely. The end game for Nike, for Adidas, they're just trying to drive these kids to those schools that wear their shoes, because in the end, the good ones are going to be playing the NBA, and they want to rotate them out and wear their shoes when they play in the
NBA. So once again, if they do away with the one and dones, if they let them go straight out, will that alleviate? Obviously not all of it, alleviate.
No, but I think it takes care of some.
It takes care of a lot of it.
I really.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this.
East Carolina is not in trouble for that.
Yeah. Nope.
But let me ask you this. So,
not a bit.
So I thought about this week, this one and done thing. So arbitrarily, why even say after a kid finishes his senior year of high school, then he can go? If you got a kid that's a badass at 16 years old, why not let him go at 16 years old? I mean, they do in soccer.
Well, Bryce Harper did it.
I know,
Bryce Harper quit
community college.
Went to community college, right? Quit high school.
But my point is, if a kid after his sophomore year of high school is just tearing it up, so you're going to arbitrarily say, okay, well, 18 is a great age. Okay, well, 18, you can vote, you can't drink, you know, you can drive at 18. Mm-hmm. So what's this magical thing? Is it because you've all of a sudden gone through high school? And so, I mean, if a kid's good enough, I mean, according to what everything I saw, and have read about him, Zion could have gone when he was 16 years old to the NBA. So do you think we'll ever reach that status?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think we ever will?
No.
You know, Nike signed a little girl that she had committed to Carolina to play soccer. She when she was like 12 or 13, 14 years old. I forget. She's from like Washington State or
it's not Pewds. I know exactly what you're talking about, because she's supposed to go to Carolina to play soccer.
She was supposed to go to Carolina to play soccer, and Nike actually has signed her. She's like 14, 15 years old, and has signed her to play soccer. And now she's training with national teams. I mean, she's getting a stipend money from Nike. She's training with national teams, boys' national teams, and she's just going to forego. She's probably going to forego it all.
High school,
and go right to the playing for the women's national team and I guess professional soccer or
good for her
or whatever. So other sports are doing it, but we have this taboo thing about setting this age limit.
What's the NBA does?
Well, the national the Players Association.
But could you imagine a 16-year-old playing in the NBA though? That's probably not a good idea.
Well, the basketball probably is fine, but just
the other parts,
the other parts associated, you know, with that, you know, with that.
You're asking a 16-year-old to hang out with a 30-year-old man. I mean, that's
can you imagine if like a 16-year-old was like on the same team with like Dennis Rodman when he was playing basketball?
Man, could you imagine? I bet his life would have been turned upside down.
So, I don't know. I think the one and done thing will be interesting to see. I think that you're going to see a lot of kids. You know, it came back, I think it was 2006 when they put it back in. There was a period of time when it was there, and then it went away, and I think it was 2006. And, you know, everybody looks to LeBron, and they look to Kobe, and then they say Zion, and they say all these names. But everybody forgets people, the ones that didn't, the kids that went right out of high school. And, you know, I can't even remember, you know, their names because they never did anything. You know, but they went and they signed a big contract. You know, honestly, he bounced around in the NBA and he probably made some good money. But a kid that would have benefited to at least go to 1 year of college was Kwame Brown. I mean, he was drafted like the number one pick.
He's from Atlanta.
From Atlanta, Kwame Brown, number one pick. He would have benefited to go on at least the 1 year.
But now the NBA has legitimized the G League, so it is a more of a breeding ground for the NBA than it was back then.
You're not going to draft them. I mean, these kids that get drafted in the first round, they're not going to push them down to the G League.
Of course not. First round's guaranteed contract. The second round that the guy commits and leaves early.
I mean,
Kyle Bowman from Havelock, he's projected to be a mid-second rounder. He's hired an agent and declared to go already.
I wish there could be some sort of independent jury or judge or evaluation of talent. Someone that had no vested interest, that didn't have anything to do with Nike, didn't have anything to do with Adidas, didn't have anything to do with NCAA basketball, didn't have anything to do with NBA basketball, but they understood basketball. And they held some sort of camp or some sort of something for these high school kids and freely evaluated them, you know, and said, you do what you want to. In our opinion, you know, you're a first round draft pick. Mm-hmm. And you know, in our opinion, you know, son, you would benefit by going to and playing college basketball and working on this.
But the NBA does a better job of that now because obviously they suggest they not get an agent. And yeah. they kind of project where they're going to be more so now. So you see a lot of them saying they declare for the draft and then withdraw.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm talking about the high school kids, though.
Oh, yeah.
And see, it's so the high school kids, that complicates things because mm-hmm. they're trying to sign, you know, the recruiting and you know.
Right.
So then does the college coach hold out a scholarship here or there after this talent evaluation? You know, it's just, I don't know, man. I just think, yeah, it's going to be good for – a handful of players every year, two, three, four players to go right from the high school ranks. But I think you'll have more kids. Again, just like we saw, like you know, said, I'm sorry I didn't research this, but for every Kobe Bryant, for every LeBron James you had four or five kids that came right out of the high school and didn't do anything, and just you know.
But you know, maybe they knew they were just too dumb to go to one semester of college. You know,
that's a great point. I mean, you know, and that's a great point. You know, maybe they would have benefited. Maybe their college should have been the G League. I mean, you're right.
Yeah.
The G League wasn't around then,
right?
Like it was now, and you know, and you
a lot
know,
more so, legitimized now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyway, so more. You know, we got derailed a little bit, but I don't think this deal with the Nike thing is over with yet.
I think it's kind of sit and wait and see what develops. But, you know, like I said earlier, you know, if Adidas has been doing it, the other one's been doing it, pretty sure that, you know, Nike's been had their hands in it a little bit.
I guarantee after tomorrow night's game, after the game tomorrow, by Friday, it will all have hit the fan. The Miller, Self. All, I mean, it all come to light. I mean, NCAA is not stupid. They're not going to.
Yeah.
Because you don't want college coaches sitting on the stand, yeah. you know, sitting up there before the game and answer questions from the reporters who. Yeah.
You this know, is their biggest. You know, tomorrow night is the one shining moment. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest. It's the culmination to the season. So let me ask you this: have y'all watched any of the women's Final Four?
I actually
he did. He had it on earlier here.
I had it on. I did. I watched.
Did you watch the Connecticut Notre Dame game last night?
It was really good.
It was a really good game.
I was floored that I was actually watching the game. I was like, oh, and it's good. It's good basketball. They play good fundamental basketball.
So women's college basketball over the last, I was listening coming back from Raleigh on ESPN, over the last 10 years has really evolved a ton. They had a clip from Gino Auriemme, however you say his name, from Connecticut, that he talked about it two or three years ago. He said, you know, the thing about women's basketball is 10 years ago you had 10 teams that were good. Mm-hmm. 5 teams that were really good, 10 teams that were good. Now you're getting more and more women's teams that are legitimately, you know, good. You know, UConn hadn't won a national championship in like 3 or 4 years.
Saying, which is bad for him.
Which seems like 50 years.
But
you
it's
know, compared
literally
to,
just 20, 25 years behind the guys.
Right.
Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's so many great athletes now in the girls that have evolved just like the guys. You know.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I'm going to be really upfront with you. I watched the game last night between Notre Dame and Connecticut. First time I watched a women's basketball game in I don't know how long. And the thing that struck me more than anything else was the last women's basketball game I watched, and it may have been UConn at the time. Oh, wow. So we do have a final. Is that a final?
No, 28 seconds.
So there's 28 seconds to go, and it's Baylor 80, Notre Dame 78. The thing that struck me when I watched the game last night as opposed to 5-10 years ago is the way they shoot. They can really shoot the ball now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Joey said, fundamentally – it's a better game because they play it the right way, whereas on the guys' side, I think they depend too much on athleticism.
Yeah, I agree with you. They're fundamentally sound. So we got 80-80 with 16.1 seconds left. This is a first in 2 minutes six-pack history. We're actually counting down the women's national championship game, so we'll keep you informed about this.
And this is what I like about the women's game. You call timeout. You know where you get the ball?
Half court.
Half court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the NBA.
That's a rule they need to put in college.
They will. They got to. You know.
But, I mean, I swear they do it for the women to make it more exciting so people watch.
That would have saved, saved Rick Barnes with Tennessee.
Well, I mean, NBA does it. I mean, they got to do it. I didn't know women did that, but that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So we're going to stay here. So it's 80-80. But anyway, I watched the game last night. So some are saying that has the women's Final Four been more exciting than the men's so far?
I don't think so. I think this is a great year for the men's NCAA tournament. It's just
for basketball as a whole, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yes.
Really competitive, except for Carolina getting blown out. But it's really
that wasn't the Final Four, Bob.
But, I mean, there's been a lot of great games.
But there, you know, during the tournament, there's been, I mean, Virginia has been involved in the Purdue game and then last night's game. Auburn has been involved. Well, the first game, I mean, Auburn makes it all the way to the
Final Four.
Final Four. Oh, and Baylor scores 82-80 with 3.9 seconds left.
Wow. And you have to think about this, too. Auburn beat,
Kansas. They beat the three Blue Bloods.
And Kentucky.
Beat the three Blue Bloods.
And lost their second best player.
Against Carolina.
Yeah. With 8 minutes to go.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Studs and duds. Not prepared for this, but does anybody have any studs of the week? Duds of the week? Oh, you actually probably have a dud of the week, don't you?
No, actually, I kind of have a stud.
Okay.
Haywood County.
Okay, I thought you were going with the
High School Athletic Association. Yeah. I don't think that'd be right for me to say they're duds.
Say they're dud. Okay, so go with your stud of the week.
All right, so Haywood County has, I guess, filed legislation or sent letters to legislation questioning the High School Athletic Association because Tuscola High School has like 970 kids. They're in a 3A, 4A conference. Most of those schools are 1,200 or more. There's another local conference, which is a 2A conference, all same size schools as Tuscola. The county has petitioned the state, the High School Athletic Association, to have Tuscola reclassified as a 2A school. It was denied by the High School Athletic Association. So Haywood County is moving forward trying to get that appeal heard and changed.
Wow.
Here we go, Notre Dame for a buzzer beater.
So NCAA, so North Carolina High School Athletic Association equals NCAA.
Yeah, pretty much, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Oh, another timeout. So they are borderline, just pretty much we're going to do what we want to do. I think you had said, though, that there have been previous.
Well, I'll just use soccer as an example because 2 years ago, actually 3 years ago, or three seasons ago, I should say, with boys soccer. And this past season, we had time off of school across the state because of storms. Well, they made 3 years ago, we had to cram 2 weeks of playoffs in to get six games in 2 weeks. The Soccer Coach Association complained, didn't feel it was safe for the kids. So what do they do again this year?
Same
cram six games in 2 weeks. So if you make it to the state championship game, you're playing basically a game every other day.
And they actually accommodated the football folks by pushing the playoffs back a week.
But they treat all sports the same.
But what I was going to say was, wasn't there a similar complaint filed by a different association, a different county or a different school before Haywood, and they kind of granted the...
They did. That was, I think, J.M. Robinson, maybe, down in Charlotte, Cabarrus, wherever, I think middle part of the state.
All right. So, no rhyme nor reason.
No.
All right. So, here we go. Notre Dame, 3.9. They get the ball to the baseline. She takes up, hits the bottom rim, game over. Foul with 1.9 seconds
left.
Was it
a foul?
Yeah.
It a foul?
And is that a woman?
Yeah. It's women's basketball.
It's women's basketball,
that guy, she looked like a man. I'm just going to tell you. I'm sorry, guys, but she looked like a man there for a second.
She's clutch.
So here we go. So, she's at the line. Notre Dame, she misses the first
one.
Wow.
So she has to miss the second one.
So she has to miss the second one with 1.9 seconds left. We're going to bring bring in all the women. We should have been Facebook Live on this. We're going to just double our women's audience from one to two, probably. She makes the second one, tried to miss it, and she's upset. So do you just throw it long?
You have to.
Just throw it long.
Yeah.
Oh!
Travel.
I didn't. The ball always went out of bounds. Did you see that?
Yeah.
0.3 left. Baylor's going to win the national championship. Does anybody know the name of the Baylor coach?
Mulkey.
Kim Mulkey. Mm-hmm. She joins two other coaches in more than, I think it's 3 or 4 national championships. Who are the two other coaches? Easy
Pat
question.
Pat Summitt. Gina.
And
she's a player. She won one at Louisiana Tech in 1982.
And actually, if the Notre Dame coach, whose name is like Muffy McGee or something like that.
McGraw.
Okay. If she'd have won, she would have joined she would have been the one that – she has the same number of national championships. So whoever won this game, the winner was going to join Pat Summitt and Gino for more than – it's either 3 or 4. I can't
remember. And I think it's every 5 years Baylor's won. I want to say something like that. It was something crazy because mm-hmm. they – 5 years ago, they had Brittany Griner. They won, and then 5 years prior to that, they had won it.
So I'm going to talk real quick. We're at 55 minutes. Do y'all have a stud or dud?
I have a stud.
Okay, stud.
Bryce Harper.
Okay, you can talk baseball.
He hits a home, goes 0-for-2, first strikes out first two times back in Washington D.C. They boom like crazy. Next time up, hits a 454-foot bomb. Flips the bat 5 times.
So he's 1-for-3.
He was 3-for-5 that day.
Okay.
So one triple shy of a cycle.
Okay.
And he got paid like $600,000 that day.
Yeah, he got $600,000.
He got paid.
For every flip of the bat was $100,000. Okay.
My stud of the week, I got two of them, is Chris Heath and Tony Bennett.
Okay. I have no idea who
Chris Heath is. The coach for Texas Tech, isn't that his name?
Chris. No, it's not Heath.
Heard.
Anyway.
Yeah. The Texas Tech coach.
Yeah, the Texas Tech head coach he coached for 10 years under the great Bobby Knight and obviously took heed to what he learned. And, of course, Tony Bennett's dad, Dick Bennett, was a great defensive coach at University of Richmond. All right. So I know you soccer guys always say, and we always say it, defense wins championships. Yep. We learned it in the NFL. We've seen it, and it's great to see it. And it's great to see that the one and dones aren't dominating the sport.
So my dud of the week, I mean – and it's just no, it's not going to be a Duke player, or it's not going to be Duke University. I mean, that's a standing dud. I mean, that's like the all-time dud. My dud, and I'm honestly saying I've kind of seen his true colors, and I'm actually he's a dud, but in my sense, I'm glad to see him go. Nazir Little, that came to Carolina, he just never fit in, never wanted to learn to play defense. Legitimately, after the. You could tell the state of being in your mind. They interviewed him. They interviewed Kobe after the game. Kobe was like, you know, I'm not really thinking about this right now. We just lost this game. I'm upset. Nazir Little's comments were like, well, I'm just going to have to, do what's best for my family. And just basically when he was talking, he was gone.
Right.
I mean, he was out the door. He was gone. And the crazy thing is he's projected – I've seen some projections. He's still projected as like 6 or 7. Then I've seen some he's projected at 15. My prediction is he will be the next Brandon Wright at Carolina. Carolina, Brandon Wright stayed 1 year, had a pretty good year, left. I mean, he's still kind of floating around.
He's still playing in NBA.
Because he's 7 foot tall. 6'11", 7 foot tall. But do you even know what team he's playing for?
At one time, I did.
Yeah, one time you did, but he's changed teams about 30 times. He will be Nazir Little in 5 years. Potentially, will be sitting with Jerry Stackhouse on the Vanderbilt bench as an assistant grad assistant coach.
He would not hire him.
I don't know. That's another topic that just come up. My stud of the week, legitimately, is probably Jerry Stackhouse, new head coach Vanderbilt, which I'm going to go out on a limb and say it may be an in training. Job,
no.
It may be in training, boys.
No way.
You never know if they can't get Brad Stevens.
You got Hubert Davis.
He has no head coaching experience.
How about Bobby Hurley?
I'll quit giving any money at all whatsoever to the NCAA. Think about it. Hubert Davis, the only other coach that Carolina has ever hired with no head coaching experience was Bill Guthridge, and that was because of the transition.
Right.
And that was like, that was a balloon parachute. Thank you for all you've done for being loyal. You're not going to hire a coach that has had zero head coaching experience. I mean, if you do, you got bigger ones than I got, man.
Yeah.
Bigger ones than I got. But I've actually heard that this, because if I'm not mistaken, if what I heard, I think the athletic director at Vanderbilt has some ties. I'm not, he might be a Carolina grad, the athletic director at Vanderbilt. If I don't know that to be the case, but there are some potential ties with Carolina and Vanderbilt. So anyway, we'll wait and see. All right, that's all we have for tonight. We're right at 1 hour, 2 minutes, six pack. Again, thank you, Mike Brannon, Twin Peaks, great food. Thank you, Daddy Mills, Coach Miller, Coach Joey Mahalchik, Bobby Trevor continues to be on Siesta. Bobby is traveling to D.C. For actually work and trying to earn a little cash and come home and make Bob Mills Mitsubishi bigger and better than it is. So for 2 minutes, six pack, thanks, guys.